You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears have gone. I'm no child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. Blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child.
Today, as I stand here before you, I'm looking at the faces of friends of the Central Point Church. Many of you we have gotten acquainted with as we've come and visited and fellowship with you and shared messages over the time that we've lived here, about 4 years in this area after we retired. And yet, not only Central Point Church family, but I've got friends from Coos Bay, where we retired from. And then, not only that, but from my very first church family, that I was the pastor, that's some years ago. In the late 70s, yes, be honest there. Jennifer, good to see you. Yes, indeed. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. And so we are pleased to be able to be with you here to share the Word of God with you today. Jesus told us, he said, that we could have peace. And he's speaking to you and me as Christians. Amen. That we could have peace in this world. Now that's another story. Peace in this world, even us as Christians? Is he kidding? And yet he said we could have peace. Why is it that many Christians are living without it. I'd invite you to go with me in your Bible. So glad you brought your Bibles with you today. And turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John, chapter 14. Now, this whole chapter is about not being afraid, but experiencing peace. So let me give you a little background. Jesus is really, what he's saying is goodbye. He's saying goodbye. It's his goodbye sermon. In fact, John chapter 13 through John chapter 16 is his goodbye sermon. In just a few moments, he's going to make his way to the cross. He's going to die. But the disciples don't even realize it. They're in the upper room and they're having a wonderful time and they think they really are experiencing peace. But Jesus knows that the kind of peace they're experiencing is not the kind of peace that's going to see them through the trouble they're going to be encountering. They need another kind of peace. And here in John chapter 14, Jesus is explaining to them that he's soon going to be leaving, but he's going to go to his Father's house. And where is that, by the way? That's in heaven. But they don't have to be troubled. They're not going to be separated from him. He's going to come back. He's not going to forsake them. In fact, his Father is going to send another comforter, one like himself. One like himself, the Holy Spirit. And he wants them to know and to experience this real peace, even this side of the second coming of Jesus Christ. How many here want to experience that peace, that real peace from Jesus? Amen. 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 I raise my hand as well. What is this peace? And I'm so thankful that we talked of it and thought of it. It's been in our prayers and thoughts here. It's right here in our scripture reading today. It is a key verse for our passage today, our message. John chapter 14 and verse 27. In fact, I would invite you to read it out loud starting right now. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, I've heard that over the years, I've read that over the years, and it just didn't seem to click for me, but have you noticed that these words from Jesus himself are identifying two kinds of peace? How many peace? How many kinds? Two kinds of peace. And those of you that want to sharpen your sword, if you haven't done this yet, I want you to sharpen your swords and circle the first kind of peace. It's called my peace. My peace. That's Jesus' peace. My peace. But the second one is identified as the world gives. Circle that. Sharpen your sword. Now listen to this, friends. The world's peace, it gives us relief. What does it give us? Relief. It gives us relief. It'll calm us down, and we get it through the world's peace. Yes. But Jesus offers more than relief. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. He offers us a cure this side of his soon second coming. Now, I would ask you today, what has been your experience in this world? Is the world's peace enough? Is that working for you, by the way? It ain't enough. Amen. It is not enough. Amen. We need Jesus' peace. Yes. And Jesus' peace is in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit never focuses on himself and his experience, but the Holy Spirit talks about Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Well, there's actually a song about that. Do you know what the chorus? Let's sing it together. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Today, I want to talk with each of you about the key to Jesus' peace. The key. In other words, to better appreciate the key to Jesus' peace, I would suggest, first of all, that we need to understand what happens when we buy into the other kind of peace. And the other kind of peace is what? The world's peace. That gives us what? Relief. Gives us a world of relief. We need to be honest with ourselves, and I include myself. In the church today, in the world today, we have people that they know what it's like to be tense. They know what it's like to be stressed and anxious and worried. And there's a lot of anger out there, right? A lot of unhappiness out there. People, a lot of fear out there in the world today. Just turn on the news. And I think you can relate to it. Jesus certainly could. Right here in John chapter 14 and verse 27, he identifies it. Notice it here. John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Indeed, friends, that is not what we have just described here, Jesus' peace, because Jesus' peace takes away fear. Jesus' peace, it takes away troubled hearts. So it must be the other fear. It is. And he says it here. It is right there in John chapter 14, verse 27. If you haven't noticed it, not as the world gives, do I give to you. In other words, Jesus is saying here, I'm not giving you the world's kind of peace. I'm giving you my peace. Jesus' peace. Friends, whatever Jesus' peace is, it takes away troubled hearts and fear. We all need that peace. I came across a big word. Don't use it too often in my language. Homeostasis. Here it is, right there on the screen. And I've learned it means a body at rest. A body at rest. And I asked, as I was thinking about this, what does that mean? What does that look like? Well, a body at rest is a heart that's beating. That's a good idea. And the temperature's normal. Blood pressure, normal. The breathing is normal. Muscles are relaxed. One can be emotionally calm. We are at ease. But what's the opposite of that? And what would that look like? Have you been there and done that? Hands sweaty, heart beats faster, temperature rises, blood pressure is high, breathing is abnormal, muscles begin to tighten up, and emotionally we're upset, we're tense, and we are ill at ease. Yes, amen. And does Jesus say anything about this? Yes, he does. Right here in John chapter 14, verse 27. Let's say it out loud together again. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I need to share with you something that's much... It's so unfortunate, but it's an unfortunate fact and reality of life. And that is this. Most people know nothing about Jesus' peace. All they know is the world's peace. Now think about that for a moment. Do we have something to share with them? We certainly do. That is, if we know for ourselves Jesus' peace. And so I want to give you a quiz. I want to see, and I include myself here indeed, if we have bought into Jesus' peace or into the world's peace. You see, if we're buying into the world's peace, we're going to think that the reason why I'm tense, the reason why I'm angry or upset or ill is because of these things that are happening in my world around me. Take, for example, you want to know why I'm upset and I'm angry? Okay, you want to know why I'm moody when I'm at home? It's because my boss is making unreasonable demands on me at work. And I'm bringing it home. I'm sorry. Or maybe another example. Why is it possible to be a particular church family member, or maybe a family member in her own family, they tend to be angry again and again and again? And we ultimately find out that they have had a disagreement with somebody. And maybe it's at work or school or maybe even at the church. Have you ever been betrayed by someone you thought you could trust? Ever happen? And the next thing you know, the rumor is, it's a false rumor. And either way, we become angry and bitter and unforgiving, hard to live with. And this is real, isn't it? It happens even to us, or at least to people that we know. Even Christians have bought into the world's kind of peace. And we react. We react to these things that are happening to us with the world that's happening all around us. And so we become angry and bitter and afraid. And unfortunately, we have bought in the world's kind of peace. And we ask rightly so, what can I do? And Jesus has an answer. In fact, it's much more than an answer. It is a promise. There are at least 5,000 or more Bible promises. Aren't they awesome? Aren't they wonderful? And I have learned that his Bible promises are like him speaking to us personally, individually. And so I would encourage you, as you look at every Bible prophecy, including this one, that you personalize it. Whenever you see the word you in there or a year, that's you. So between you and God right now, read this. This is him speaking to you. We'll start right now, silently, between us and God. Amen. What an awesome promise.
Amen.
Something that I'm learning about peace in our lives, and I trust that maybe you can relate to it as well, and that is that peace in our lives is often related to forgiving somebody.
Amen.
Can you relate to that?
Amen.
You agree with that statement? Forgiving somebody. And what happens is, instead of choosing to forgive them, we choose instead to use the world's kind of peace instead. So instead of forgiving our boss or our mate or that person that wrongly accused us or did something to us, instead of forgiving our daughter whose lifestyle has ruined our reputation, instead of forgiving, we try to forget. We try to cope by the world's kind of peace. Are you with me? You understand what I'm saying? In fact, sometimes it gets a little easier. Every time it just gets easier to follow the world's kind of peace instead of the Jesus peace, because we just can't see ourselves forgiving that person. I want to share with you what the world's peace does to cope. And I want you to ask yourself, between you and God, have you been there and done that? You see, in place of forgiving someone, in place of facing some reality, someone's passed away. I just heard that I have cancer, or I lost my job. In place of facing some reality, we get hooked into the world's kind of peace. And the world looks at us as they see that we're having difficulty forgiving, or we're having difficulty facing some reality in our lives, and the world says, no problem, we've got a number of options for you. Take your pick. Some get lost in their work. They become a workaholic. Someone else says, no, that's not for me. I go to the telephone and I call this person and this person and this person because they agree with me about that person that I just can't forgive. Someone else says, well, I go for a visit. I got to get out of the house. I got to go for a vacation, anything to get out of the way and get over it. Someone else says, no, I sweat it out. I buy the exercise equipment and I just really sweat it out. Or I play a good game of racquetball or basketball and sweat it out. I just got to do that in order to get hurt out of me. Someone else escapes. They escape in a book. They escape in music. And I thought about young people and wow, they have chosen to escape a lot too. In video games and iPads and going to movies. Then others, they join a team, they join a choir or a club. Someone else says they begin to study a lot. Others get involved with buying things. And they buy more and they buy more. Still others want to find a quiet spot, somewhere quiet. I've known some people that go out and they buy a car. Things get a little expensive. World's kind of peace. Some find themselves eating a lot. Some almost starve themselves. Others get involved with remodeling the house. You see, the world's peace offers relief, and we've been there and we've done that, haven't we? And I haven't even mentioned the first top two. And I know there's many more. But you know what the number one is? Alcohol. Alcohol. It's the world's greatest chemical abuse problem. You find peace in a bottle, right? But the second one is, and I heard it here, I heard somebody say drugs. It's drugs. You go to your doctor and you say, I am depressed. And you don't always say, or we don't always say that it's because I can't forgive this certain person or I can't face this reality, but he fills out this prescription for the pills. And those pills tranquilize our anger away. Some get their pill from the doctor and their upper from the doctor. Some pay a little price for it, but they go through a drug pusher. And recently I heard something. I said, oh, I must share this in the message. And I heard it about Michael Jackson. You know that rock and roll singer? I discovered that Michael Jackson really bought into the world's kind of peace. Each month, he paid $50,000 per month for pills in order to get the world's peace. And Whitney Houston, one of the most beautiful singing voices, bought into the world's peace because she could not find relief from bitterness And so she took more pills and more pills. You and I can get relief from these conditions as well, can't we? We really can. It's called the world's peace, and the world's peace will give us relief. And even Jesus identified with that. He did. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Neither let it be afraid. Friends, I would like to suggest that the world's peace is a counterfeit. It's a band-aid. It's a coping mechanism that the world's come up with, and the world would just love to share with you all the methods it has to find relief. But it doesn't work. And as I was studying on this, I thought to myself, well, I wonder what God has to say about this. I wonder what God has to say about the methods the world has to do. So I would invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. These emotions, these reactions, anger and tension and worry and hate and fear, what does God think of them? We know what the world thinks of them. The world says, well, yes, the outside world around me, I'm angry because, and you fill in the blanks. But what does God think of them? Before you and I can experience the real peace, Jesus' peace, we need to see these emotional responses as Jesus sees them. How does he see them? Galatians chapter 5 and verses 19 through 21. Everybody there? Now the works of the flesh are evident. Which are? Now, I want to stop just a moment and note that another word for sin is the works of the flesh. Do you agree with that? It's an expression used in the Bible, the ways of the flesh, the works of the flesh. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. He told it really like it is, didn't he? A whole list of them. Thou art the man. Thou art the woman, right there. In Colossians chapter 3 and verses 8 and 9, and we have it on the screen there, notice it there, but I would like to have next to Galatians chapter 5 verse 21, write down if you haven't, Colossians 3, 8 and 9. Because the Apostle Paul also speaks of it again, the same issue. And he's speaking to us as Christians, and he says this, "But now you must also put off all these," and what are they? "Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds." Do you see it? All of the above, God calls what? He calls it sin. The works of the flesh. I wonder, do you and I realize what this means? We live in this world. Do you and I realize what this means? It means that if anger and fear are sin, and we see that in Scripture, that they are sin, then there's no human remedy. There is no human cure. All there is in this world in this world to offer. That's all it has. Our president can get up there and all the presidential candidates can get up there and they can tell you they're going to bring peace into this world, but all they can give you is relief. The world's kind of peace. Tell you who I vote for, Jesus. I vote for him again. Every time. It's a band-aid, the world's peace. It's a cover-up. It's here today, and it's gone tomorrow. I've been there, and I've done that. If we want relief, we can find it in the world, we can. If we want to stay, if we want to remain in this prison of bitterness and unforgiveness, all you need is the world's peace. And you'll get your relief. But that's all you'll get. You will not get healing. Relief is not dealing with the need to forgive. Relief is a temporary fix. Alcohol, for example, can quiet down our bitter heart, our hostile and bitter heart, but it gives relief, not healing. But I can imagine you're asking, as I was asking, well, wait a minute. Isn't there a place for some relief? Isn't there a place for some relief? And yes, there is. There is a place for it. But don't kid yourself thinking that that's all there is. We got something better than that. Why did Jesus come in the first place? If you learned anything today, take a look at this line here on the screen. God did not send his son into the world to give us relief. And that's why I especially want to point each of us to the cure. And that cure is out of this world. It's out of this world. Take a look at this here in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. Let's say it out loud together. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their what? Their sins. Jesus didn't come just to give relief. He came to save us. He came to heal us. Jesus, he is the key to peaceful life. I'm going to skip this next text because of our time. But friend, I believe that we tend to blame the outside world for causing us to do what we do and to think what we do. But Jesus says that it is from within us and not without us that is the problem. And so the way we respond, the way we act, has to do with what's within us. What's within us? And according to our God, if we want peace and not just relief, but a cure, then we must be willing to acknowledge that the circumstances that face us, every one of us has different circumstances, those circumstances are telling us something. They're telling us that we need to deal with something in our hearts. Amen. And not the other way around, right? You see, the world doesn't cause our problem. We'd like to think that is the case, but the world doesn't cause our problem. It reveals our problem. And often, what is our problem? What is the world really revealing our problem? Some need that we have maybe to forgive someone. Some need to be able to face some reality in our lives. How many here today want Jesus' peace? Let's see your hands.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you and I really want Jesus' peace, if we really desire more than relief, but victory, a cure, then we must see anger that we are experiencing, for example, as sin. And the source of that anger is coming from within. we must see that our boss is not the real problem. Now, he may be a problem, but he's not the real problem. I know I'd have a lot of discussion after church, but I didn't say that. Our mate is not the real problem. That certain church member is not the real problem. Our children's behavior does not really determine our anger. No, rather, we're angry, we're upset, we're bitter because of the sin that's in our lives. There may be someone here today who needs to forgive somebody. And the world's peace offers you a fix. By the way, how's that going? I speak to myself excluded. We've all been there. Everybody here has been in that prison, maybe. I suppose they have. But Jesus' peace offers us more than relief, friends. Jesus' peace offers a cure.
Amen.
A cure.
Amen.
To forgive, to live. Think about that. To be willing and able to forgive so that we can live and get on with life. And get a good night's sleep. Most of us present here today, we have given our lives to Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit has come into our lives. And He is present there in our lives. But He wants to be present in our lives. And He wants us to vote Him in as president every day in our lives. He wants to take more and more control of our lives so that we can live above the desires of the flesh, you see. And as we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, He will supply us with the fruit of the Spirit. Amen?
Yes.
Now, what are the fruits of the Spirit? Let's review them again. It's good to meditate on them. But the fruit of the Spirit, according to Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Let's say it out loud together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Friends, if you and I want more love, if we desire more joy, if we desire to have a greater peace in our lives, then listen to this, friends. The answer is not so much in improving our partner.
All right.
But it's much more so in improving our focus on Jesus.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
We don't solve our problems by working on our sins. That has its place. But by working on our relationship with Him. And I can't do that for you. You can't do that for me. But God can. You and I ask today, what can I do with my sin? My anger, my fear, my gossip, my sin of not being willing to forgive. Well, I've got good news for you as we close the message today. God has already made provision. Check this out. This is wonderful. You know it by heart. I don't even need to shine it to you on the screen, but I want to read it from the screen with you. Let's do it right now. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, that's another one of those 5,000 promises, by the way. Personalize it. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. Now, when you take a look at that promise, I see two provisions beautifully presented. Number one provision, forgiveness of sins. Isn't that number one? That's the imputed righteousness of Jesus, the covering righteousness of Christ, justification by faith. But the other provision, notice it, cleansing of sin. That's the imparted righteousness of Christ. That's victory over sin. Bible students call it sanctification by a faith that works by love. The good news of the gospel is God has made provision for this in your life and my life throughout our Christian life. This is available for us. And so Jesus is speaking to us today. Right here, over and over again, we have read it. John chapter 14, verse 27, he's speaking to us. And I have found that for me personally, that in order for me to understand something sometimes, I got to put it in my own words. Helps me to understand it better. And so I want to give you a Williams paraphrase of John chapter 14, verse 27. Now, your paraphrase may be a little different, but this is Pastor Ken's. So Williams paraphrase of John 14, verse 27. I have not left you alone, forsaken. I will leave you peace, not the kind the world offers. The world's peace gives relief, but my peace cures. So you don't have to be troubled. You can have shalom, peace, in time of trouble. Today, I want each of us to experience much more than the world's peace, but Jesus' peace. Are you ready?
Amen.
Are we ready? Are we ready to allow the Holy Spirit to help us to be willing? Then here are the steps. They're right there in your notes. In fact, the back page of them. And I want to go through them very briefly. Number one, examine our heart. It's on the screen as well. Examine our heart. Everyone here has a conscience. Some people in the world have a seared conscience, but we can have an educated conscience. And that educated conscience comes as we get to know Jesus and his word. And he speaks to us. And we want to listen. So listen to your conscience. Listen to the voice of your conscience. Examine our heart. Number two, acknowledge our sin. You see, God speaking to us by his Holy Spirit to our conscience is telling us what it is that's preventing us from experiencing Jesus' peace. Why we're not having the joy that we should have. Why we're having difficulty sleeping at night. Acknowledge those sins. And number three, ask God for forgiveness and cleansing for those sins. And number four, ask God by his Holy Spirit to fill us more and more, to take more and more control. You see, he has promised not just to forgive us, but he's promised to cleanse us. And that's good news, amen? And so Jesus offers not the world's peace, relief, but Jesus offers cure. But first, we must examine our hearts, acknowledge our sin, ask God for forgiveness and cleansing. Ask God to fill us anew with his Spirit. Are you ready to do that today? Right now, as Annetta plays that beautiful song, I cast all my cares upon you. I invite you to, right now, bow your heads with me. An attitude of prayer. Some of us, as we are here today, we are still burdened with the haunting memory of what we have done or something that someone has done to us. We're still in some kind of a prison of bitterness. And we need freedom from these memories. We need the things of the past gone from our thoughts. And we realize today it's Jesus' peace. And I believe there are some here today who are ready. And I want to invite you to pray with me silently between you and God. Repeat after me, okay? Dear loving Father, you have shown me what my real problem is. that it's not what's happening outside of me, but it's a sin that is within me. Lord, I've tried the world's kind of peace and I got relief. Today, I come to you desirous of Jesus' peace. Enable me to forgive. Enable me to face my realities. And now, fill me with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.